Welcome back to Demand Gen Chat. I'm your host, Tara Robertson, head of Demand Gen at Chili Piper. And in this episode, I'm joined by Rosalind Santa Elena, founder and CRO at the RevOps Collective. We chat about how working closely with RevOps can be key for marketers to succeed, especially in tough times, what's top of mind for her RevOps clients right now, and what teams should know before they bring on a dedicated RevOps team. I hope you enjoy my conversation with Rosalind. Rosalind, thank you so much for joining me on Demand Gen Chat.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Of course, of course. I'd love to start with, I know you've been running RevOps Collective for over 6 months now. How are things going?
Yeah, it's been really, really fun. It's exciting. It's definitely not something that I wasn't really expecting to kind of be a solopreneur, but I am really, really enjoying just bringing RevOps to more organizations as well as to more people. So it's been great. Thank you for asking.
Very cool. Yeah, it's been fun to watch from LinkedIn updates, which is how I've been keeping in touch. So it's been great. Is there anything, just right off the bat to dive into it, do you have either a marketing hot take for our audience or something that you feel like people are maybe getting wrong on social media right now around RevOps?
Yeah, you know, I think around RevOps, I think that there's such a hot demand for RevOps. Everyone's talking about it. I think the last couple of years, we've kind of seen that rise of where everyone is like, what is this? Why do we need it? You know, how do we go and implement it? You know, why do we, you know, how do we build it? And so I've really liked, it's been really great to see sort of the rise in the maturity of revenue operations as a function, as sort of that, you know, I would like to call it the strategic differentiator in companies. But I'm really excited to just kind of see where it's going. And I love the fact that it's being talked about more in a marketing sense, right? When people think about RevOps, a lot of times, unfortunately, some companies have sort of rebranded RevOps to more, you know, kind of sales ops to RevOps, forgetting about top of funnel and marketing ops, as well as kind of post sales. So it's been really great to see just marketing being more in the discussion around RevOps.
Yeah, that's interesting you mentioned that because I've definitely seen them as separate in the past. I think it is a newer trend to have ops as kind of its own standalone department. Is that typically how you recommend companies you work with structure their operations teams?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, I think revenue operations to me is really the end-to-end operational infrastructure to support really your entire revenue process. If you think about, you know, mapping that to the customer journey, right? We talk about customer journey a lot. I think about customer lifecycle, whether it's, you know, initially from top of funnel, there's interest through being a prospect, through being a customer, but also in SaaS, especially important is once they become a customer, driving that customer success, you know, their services, implementations, right? Renewals, growth. So it's an entire lifecycle of a customer that really revenue operations should support. And that's from a, you know, people, process, tech perspective, but also from data and insights and then strategy as well as enablement. So I think in its true form, it's really to support the entire customer lifecycle. But a lot of companies, you know, as you kind of alluded to too, is that they're still focusing on certain pieces of the funnel. And I think unlocking really that power of RevOps is having that holistic body of operations looking at the entire customer journey.
Yeah, one thing I'm hearing, you brought up kind of the customer success side. So I'm curious to touch on that. One thing I'm hearing a lot this year, specifically from marketers, is we used to focus on MQLs, bringing leads in, but all of a sudden my exec team wants me to also care about churn and renewals, and I have no idea where to approach that. So is that typically something that you help companies out with? And how do you recommend they approach that? Because it's such a new kind of piece of that funnel.
It's funny because it's funny you ask because it's pretty timely. I've been on my soapbox a little bit the last couple of weeks, just really talking about the customer, right? Because I think a lot of times organizations, especially in a downturn market, we talk about, oh, we need to focus on our customers. Oh, we need to focus on retention. But they talk about it and don't really do a lot of the things that we should be doing, right? And I think from a customer perspective, there's so much learning for marketing. Right. You think about when a customer actually signs a piece of paper, decides to be your customer, like, why did they buy? You know, why do they stay? Right. Why do they renew? Why do they expand? There's so much learnings there that you can very easily feed back into your demand gen engine, back into your top of funnel activities, you know, and understand, you know, so many different things. I mean, you can refine your ICP. You can start to really understand your target personas. You can really hone in on the messaging to those personas around what resonates, right? Why did these customers buy and how do those use cases resonate with your prospects? But also even if a customer leaves, right? There's a lot to be, you know, a lot to learn there, not just from a sales perspective, but also from a marketing perspective. You know, was the customer just not a good fit to begin with? Should we not be marketing to these folks, right? Or is there something different that we could have done, you know, throughout the early stages of the customer lifecycle to be able to better support them and drive value so that they do stay, right? But there's so much learnings there to feed back into marketing. So
I know it's a bit overwhelming, but I think to your point, obviously, the more insights we can gather, the more customers we can go get that are our ideal fit. So super important. But how would you recommend marketing work with operations if taking on that customer piece is new for the team?
One of the things, I guess, that ops is really good at, I think, and that is been probably one of the reasons why a lot of companies focus in on ops. Like, we need ops. And the first thing they think about is either tech stack, right? Or they think about data, right? Although operations is a lot more than that. But I think that that's where a lot of the pain comes from, right? So if you think about the data, a lot of times we're flying blind. We don't have the insights we need. We don't have the data at the right time. And that's where operations can really come in and help. And from a marketing perspective, when you think about the customer, all of that data about why did we win? Why did we lose, you know, at the deal level, but also, again, why do customers stay with us? You know, why do they renew? Why do they leave? What value are they seeing? So a lot of those insights that operations is gathering for sales, as well as for customer success to keep driving, you know, more customers and keep customers, all of that should also be leveraged by the marketing team to feed into your messaging, your content, your website, right? All of the things that you do to reach out to your customers, as well as to drive interest in your brand. Those are all learnings that you should be leaning in on operations for.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense because at least in my experience, our customer success counterparts work super closely with ops because, again, to your point, they need those insights to grow things like headcount, but they also need to know why our customers churning and have a solid story behind that, where sometimes those insights don't make it back to marketing, which is a shame.
Yeah, which really is because it really can help you redefine and kind of iterate your ICP. You can start to iterate on your personas, all the messaging, the collateral, you know, the content, all the things that have to, that really help drive the marketing engine. Those are the insights you need to be able to, you know, coupled with other insights, of course, but learning from your customers is, I mean, what better information than from the folks who actually are using your product or your offering?
You mentioned tech stack, and I was laughing because I feel like a lot of the time that's what execs think that ops does. Maybe not RevOps, but marketing ops a lot.
Yes.
I'd love to hear just at a high level on more the metric side, but what do companies that you advise come to you for help with initially? And has that kind of changed moving into 2023?
Yeah, I think the metric side is so important because, you know, when you think about everyone's talking about, right, kind of like, oh, doing more with less or doing better. You know, I like to think of doing better with less. But, you know, how do you figure out what you should be, where you should be focusing your time and energy and your resources, right? And that is where you have the right metrics. And it doesn't mean that you want to measure everything. And this is another thing I think that companies do wrong is they try to measure every single piece of, you know, every piece of every data point, which ends up meaning that you're measuring nothing, right? If you're measuring everything. And so it's more important about looking at what are the things that are really going to give you an indicator of how your business is performing, right? And so you think about what are those, you know, high level goals that you have, and then what are the performance metrics that are actually going to tell you more of a, as a leading indicator than just a lagging indicator of how you're progressing towards those objectives. And so one of the things that I've been really focused in on with clients is conversion, right? It's all about conversion, right? But not just MQL to SQL or SQA, right? People talk about that a lot, or about just close one, right? When an opportunity moves to close. Everyone can measure that, but it's about measuring incrementally across the entire deal cycle or life cycle, and understanding, you know, all this kind of each stage, right, of the customer life cycle and what's converting, whether that's converting from an, you know, from a you know, from an NQL to an, you know, to something that sales accepted is one piece of it. But then as it starts to move through, you think about every stage of the sales cycle, things are converting, right? And being able to really look at that and look at the number of conversions and the percentage of those wins and deals closed and how many customers. But understand, I think if you really focus in on the metrics across the funnel versus just the big numbers, then you can start to make incremental changes that, yeah, maybe it's 1 or 2%, maybe it's 5%, but those all add up, right? Instead of trying to boil the ocean of just, I just need more top of funnel numbers and then I need to convert more deals, right? Because there's a whole lot of stuff that happens in between that where you can start to optimize and start to focus it on.
Yeah. And I think every marketing team wants more top of funnel. Yeah. I think that's kind of the dream. Yeah. But when you have maybe a smaller team than last year, maybe less budget, that's usually not so likely. Are there any other conversion points that you see people tracking as just key indicators that they could have an impact on?
Yeah, definitely. And from a marketing perspective, you know, you think about, you know, we'd always talk about people coming to your website, people attending your events, right? So there's lots of things that, you know, downloading a paper, filling out a form, right? There's all of these activities that happen that you can, you know, obviously measure in terms of, are you gaining, you know, are you gaining followers on social? Are you gaining more engagement on some of your content? More people are attending. But if you really take sort of that, you can drive that number as the first piece of it, but diving into who's attending your event? Is it the right people? You know, who are those folks that actually attend and then drive subsequent activity? So being able to dive into a lot of that, it may not be something that people typically think of conversion, but it really is, right? Because it's, you're getting people to be interested in your product and then taking the next step. So to me, when you look at conversion, it's all about moving people forward, you know, moving buyers or prospects forward in the cycle, right? So whatever you can do in your business to help not only ensure that they do convert, kind of move into the next cycle, but to expedite that cycle and shorten that window, that's where we should really be focused on. And a lot of that has to do with making sure that you get the right people to begin with, that you're reaching the right people. I can't tell you how many times, you've probably seen this too, but how many times businesses aren't really sure who their ICP is, right? They say, oh, I sell to B2B SaaS, you know, or I sell to technology. And that's like, okay, that's tens of thousands of customers. But to your point about, you know, when you don't have as many resources and you don't have this unlimited amount of budget, you have to spend your time and your money and your resources in the right place. So you have to be laser focused on what is the best ICP, the best accounts I should be going after, right? The best people.
Yeah, I've definitely gotten a handful. I can think of some recently of outreach emails that were just whatever they had their data pulling from was just completely off, just mentioning that we're using Marketo and we're not, just little things like that where they clearly, I'm just not their ICP if that's who they're going after. So I feel bad that it seems like they just have something off on either the operation side or the data that they're pulling, but they're just casting too wide of a net and I'm not going to be useful.
Yeah, definitely. And I think what I'm seeing that too, where they're either casting too wide of a net or it's just completely wrong. Right. Mm-hmm. It's a completely wrong industry where I'm seeing, a lot of outreach emails that are trying to sell me something that I have absolutely no need for because I don't do that. Or they're actually selling me competitive services, things that I would actually offer. So it's been really interesting. But when I see that, I'm always like, oh, maybe they need some RevOps help. You know, they probably need some.
Yeah, you could turn
help.
That around.
Make it into a make it into an opportunity.
You mentioned doing better with less. I really like that. It sounds much nicer than what everyone else has been saying right now.
Yeah.
Part of what that means to me is really just pausing the things that aren't working so we can double down on what is.
Yeah.
So I'm curious if any companies that you advise have had to make tough cuts or pause things recently, and how does ops help out with those decisions?
Yeah. So I think going back to kind of RevOps being, you know, the right holistic body looking across all the different pieces of the funnel and really providing the right data at the right time, right, to the right people, I think that's, you know, one of the big plays if you have a really strong operations team and operations infrastructure. So it's really, you know, as you said, kind of focusing on the what's working and what's not. So from an ops perspective, if you're constantly reviewing some of those leading, you know, indicators of what's working, then you can dive in. And it's not about waiting till the end of the month or end of the quarter and kind of reporting the news, but it's about doing that in the now, right? And constantly being analyzing, you know, looking at those points in time, but also doing that constant kind of A/B testing that we talk about a lot, right? In marketing, you always want to be testing, and then seeing what results, you know, what kind of results you're getting. Are you directionally moving towards the right outcomes? Are we seeing what we expected? And then be able to pivot really quickly. And I think that's where RevOps really helps, is bubbling up those insights so that you can figure out, okay, this isn't really working. I need to pivot. And maybe it's just a slight iteration, or it's a complete pivot, or it's at least don't do as much of that and let's do more of this, right? So if something is working really well, you want to lean in and you want to do it now versus waiting till the end of the quarter or the end of the month, because by then it's too late. By the time you get your results, you start to analyze it and you start to make some decisions to make changes, likely you're already one more month into the next quarter.
Yeah, quarters fly by these days.
Yes, so every month, every week goes by really fast.
If RevOps doesn't sit within marketing, say they're totally separate teams, how would you recommend marketing approach that relationship to get those insights? Because it sounds great to be getting those insights every week, every day, but yeah, often marketing isn't RevOps' top priority. So how can we kind of get in there and get their support?
Yeah. So I definitely think that, you know, some of this is because, like I said, I think companies make the mistake of rebranding sales ops to be revenue operations, right? And that's kind of not the intent or in the spirit of revenue operations, because RevOps should really have equal, you know, sort of accountability across all of the different go-to-market teams. And I think that's where we see a lot of mistakes, where they have RevOps sitting under a head of sales, and then they're very sales heavy. Right. And then the marketing sort of like a second citizen, right? You're kind of like, they get the, you know, they're not prioritized properly. And that's why I think having a true RevOps team that's accountable across the funnel and really accountable to the customer experience is much more powerful. And so having, you know, if you don't have marketing ops sitting in RevOps, because again, it's less about, you know, it's always less about org structure and more about alignment, right? And collaboration. So, you know, leaning on your marketing operations team and pulling in, right, RevOps should be, well, sales ops should definitely be very well aligned with marketing ops anyway, right? Because before, even in companies that I've worked at where, you know, if I didn't have marketing ops under my purview, I was very tightly aligned with our marketing ops folks, right? And so that's really important, whether they report into the same leader or not. It's important to have that alignment. But it is about, you know, making sure that you have that alignment across the goals, the strategy, the metrics, and then making sure you have that collaboration, that you're all looking at the same data, right? I think that's that's one thing that we talk about a lot, that I think, I mean, all of us have probably been there where, you know, we're in a pipeline meeting, for example, and then sales comes in and marketing comes in and they both have a different number of what pipeline looks like, right? And then you spend the entire time discussing whose number is right, where did you get this information, you know, and comparing the two numbers versus spending the time strategizing on how do we increase pipeline, right, and convert that pipeline. So yeah, I think marketing, you know, if you have your own ops team, right, and even if it doesn't sit under a RevOps umbrella, but it's marketing ops, you should be leveraging them, right? And not just about marketing automation or running your campaigns or sending out your emails, but it's about, you know, leveraging them as a strategic partner, right? And that business partner deck really help you get those insights and understand what's happening in your business and be able to really, you know, we talk about ops being kind of the person that helps you see the blind spots, you know, kind of helps you see around the corners through telling the stories that the data is telling us. And so even if you don't have RevOps, you have marketing ops, leverage them. They're not just campaign ops, right? They shouldn't be. They should really be that marketing thought partner and business leader.
Yeah, I love that analogy of ops seeing around the corner or seeing the blind spots, because often us, especially in demand gen, we're the ones either launching campaigns or it was our idea for a campaign. So if it's your baby, it's hard to see. Oh, so this probably shouldn't be running anymore. It's not really pulling its weight.
Yeah, exactly. And then if you don't have, you know, if you don't have a formal kind of marketing ops, but leveraging, you know, kind of back to your question about how do I pull in RevOps, it's all about, you know, hey, here's the data I see. What are you seeing? Right? Because it matters to the sales team as well in terms of what's happening top of funnel. And at the end of the day, it's about how do we get better? You know, everybody at the end of the day wants more revenue faster. Right. So I think by kind of being able to share those insights and see, well, hey, what am I seeing? And then talking and saying, hey, what are you seeing? And kind of putting that together, you get a full picture, right? Which is kind of what RevOps is trying to do. But even if you don't have it, there's nothing holding, you know, marketing folks from talking to salespeople and sales kind of talking to marketing. So yeah, I love that.
Yeah. And you're right about, I'm sure all of us have been in that meeting where the head of marketing and the head of sales have a totally different dashboard, different numbers.
Yeah.
And instead of spending the time productively on the insights piece, on what customers are saying, it's people are refreshing dashboards, trying to figure out why the numbers don't match.
Yeah. And then they're spending all their time figuring out where's the delta, right? What's different? Like your data is different from mine because of what, right? Versus, like you said, versus kind of strategizing on how do we make this better?
Yeah. And then the team obviously doesn't get much direction from their exec because their exec is just in that kind of back and forth. So
yeah.
We're looking ahead to the future. I know companies are coming to you looking for not just tactical advice, but strategic as well. So I'm curious, other than what we've already talked about making RevOps more of a strategic partner, is there anything else that you really think are looking forward to this year that you think will change on the RevOps side?
Yeah, I definitely think that the last couple of years we've seen, you know, this kind of rise of RevOps. We've seen it be better defined and more folks embracing it. But I definitely, you know, one thing that I'm more excited that I've seen recently is I've definitely seen, you know, we kind of touched on this a little bit already, but I think we've seen companies realizing that marketing, you know, is a huge driver of revenue, right? It's no longer about, oh, pretty brand templates and nice logos and things like that, right? Marketing has such a huge hand in driving revenue. And I think having that RevOps presence and bringing more marketing ops folks into the fold around revenue operations and letting them be exposed to the entire funnel is only going to continue to accelerate business for all organizations, because then now you have the power of not just ops in the middle of the funnel or post close of the funnel, kind of the tail end, but now you've got top of funnel as well into the fold. So I think it's really exciting. I think it's a challenge because, you know, marketing and sales have always been very, you know, separate. And I think from a marketing ops perspective too, they don't, you know, they're kind of suspicious about this RevOps, you know, what's going on with this revenue operations function. So there's a little bit of that. But I think it works if you have a RevOps leader who truly understands marketing ops and sales ops and post-sales ops, right? Kind of the CS ops world. Where it doesn't work is when you have a sales ops leader who just gets promoted into a RevOps and all of a sudden they have marketing ops, but they don't know how marketing ops runs. Right. And so similarly with this on the sales and marketing side, right? When you have a CRO who is just only understands sales and doesn't understand marketing, that's where you have that friction as well. But I am very excited about, I think we're going to continue to see more alignment around RevOps. I think we'll see more marketing CMOs as well embracing RevOps as they start to figure out how do we work better together and kind of break down those silos and have more of that synergy and holistic view across the funnel.
Yeah, I think, like you said, it's a little overwhelming for some marketers, but knowing that we can have visibility into that full funnel and getting that feedback loop is really exciting for some of us to improve targeting, everything that we can do top of
100%.
Funnel.
Yeah, I love that.
Great. So I know we're coming up on time. I'll move on to our quick fire round. Okay. First, is there another marketer you follow that our listeners should go check out?
Yeah, when I think about like marketing, I mean, I know he's no longer CMO, but I think so. Udi Lettergore is like he's like one of those folks in marketing who is just like, he's always doing something totally different. So I would say anyone in marketing at Gong for sure. I mean, they're big about creating sort of these raving fans, right? But I think there's definitely some great, I mean, there's so many great marketers out there. It'd be hard to kind of pick one, but when you mentioned it, I'm like, oh, I was thinking of, and just because they were doing things, you know, the first company to do like a Super Bowl ad, right? And some of those those other things. So that are just always thinking about out of the box, right? Kind of thinking things that are sort of out of the box. I love that.
That's great. Yeah, I'm sure a lot of our listeners know Udi, but great recommendation for sure.
Yeah.
What's in under the radar could be a channel or a tactic that either you or one of your customers is really excited about right now.
Yeah, I think everyone's talking about social, right? And kind of the dark social that we all talk about, which I don't know if it's under the radar because I think it's way above the radar now. Everyone's talking
come back
about
around.
It. Yeah, it's almost come back around, right? Because we see all these folks that are now social evangelists, right? This title has become really popular. But I'm really excited about it because I do think that a lot of teams that are doing it right, they are building such a brand presence that no amount of dollars can really, cover or kind of replace what they're doing in terms of social, you know, whether it's LinkedIn or TikTok or Instagram, but just kind of being, or Twitter, right? Kind of just being really present on all of these social media platforms and being creative, right? I think people are using video a lot more and doing things that are fun and sort of creative, but fun and really bring in people that are just interested in like, hey, what are you doing? This is funny. This is interesting. And then they learn about your brand that way.
Great. And lastly, where can our listeners go to find out more about you and follow your content?
Yeah. So definitely LinkedIn is probably the best place. I'm not on TikTok yet, but all I know, I don't know if you are, Tara, but I'm not brave enough yet, but I know people, a lot of folks talk about, you know, kind of going on these other platforms, but definitely follow me on LinkedIn, check out the RevOps Collective website for more information. And then also I host a podcast called the Revenue Engine Podcast. You definitely learn more about that. And you know, your CEO was on our show as well, right? So definitely check it out.
Great. Well, we'll add all the links in the show notes. Everyone can check those out. Thank you so much for your time, Roslyn.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
And thanks everybody for listening. We'll be back in about 2 weeks with a brand new episode.
Thanks for listening to Demand Gen Chat. Demand Gen Chat is a Chili Piper podcast hosted by Tara Robertson and produced by me, Nola McCoy. If you're enjoying the podcast, please leave us a 5-star rating on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. It only takes 5 seconds and helps other marketers like you discover Demand Gen Chat. Also, if you'd like to have a question answered in a future episode, you can connect with Tara Robertson on LinkedIn. Send her a DM with your question and it could be answered on a future episode. Finally, if you've gotten this far and are wondering what Chili Piper even is, Chili Piper helps B2B marketers book more qualified meetings for their sales teams. You can't afford to leave opportunities on the table. So let your lead self-qualify and schedule a time with the right rep instantly. And that's just one of the many revenue impacting things that Chili Piper does. Visit chilipiper.com to learn more. And thanks again for listening. We'll see you on the next episode of Demand Gen Chat.